Will Roger, who was Roger anyway? This rain report for August 8, 2008. That's 08, 08, 08 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The July issue of popular communications magazine Popcom carries an article entitled Ready to Roll with CB Radio? It's the first time in years any major mag has taken a look at what has been considered a pop culture phenomenon, CB Radio. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, caught up with the article's author, Jeff Reed, an internationally known Canadian freelance writer. This is the conclusion to their conversation.
Sometime in the 60s, the unlicensed bootleg element came into play, and in Southern California, I noticed certain channels became a haven for the unlicensed.
Back when we had 23 channels, it was a zoo, to be quite honest. It was crazy. And then even when they went to 40 channels, at first that was just nuts. But you had different communities, different groups that would control different channels within communities. Like, for example, Channel 4 here in London, Ontario, would be kind of the older generation. Channel 14 would be for the very young people, simply because a lot of people started out and they bought a walkie-talkie from Radio Shack. It had one crystal, and it was Channel 14. Same with Channel 11, because quite often, if you bought two channels, Channel 11 was also in there. And then if you bought three channels, it had Channel 19. Of course, that's where the truckers came in.
Why were 14 and 11, and even Channel 9, which was the emergency channel, were used on walkie-talkies?
You know, I've always wondered. It's one question I should ask sometime, but I just don't know. Maybe they had an over-surplus of those crystals. Who knows? But I know that when I was in high school, for example, anybody that had a two-channel walkie-talkie, it came with Channel 14. Now, maybe this was a local thing here in London, but if you went to the local Radio Shack, you had Channel 14, Channel 11. Of course, you know, we quickly learned, hey, you can buy some crystals and change your channels and get onto a different channel. And that's what I did, and I bought crystals for Channel 4 so I could talk to the people that were at that time taking CB a little bit more seriously. The language wasn't as rough. I'm sure my parents appreciated that a little bit more.
I got involved with CB after I became a ham because I wanted that local element. Mm-hmm. Ham radio, of course, was skip-oriented, typically 20, 30 miles beyond. Well, that's fine, but I wanted to talk to people locally who maybe
right.
I could have, if I drank coffee, and have a cup of coffee with. And it wasn't until about 1977 that I learned about 2 meters in amateur radio and found there was no more need, really, for CB. I think that's one reason why it became so popular, even in amateur radio, to help fill that void.
No, that's a good point. The way I look at it is I've always been a communications freak, whether it be the internet now, cell phones, scanning, shortwave. I'm a huge long-distance AM talk show listener. I still fall asleep every night to Coast to Coast AM. When I was a kid, I used to fall asleep with my CB radio on every night. That was the only way I could fall asleep. I'm not sure my parents appreciated that. I sit in an area that per capita has more traffic than LA. The Toronto area and the superhighway here between Detroit and Toronto and then up to Quebec, it's the busiest stretch of highway in the world. I'm 2 minutes from this highway, and I'm about 5 minutes from a Flying J truck stop, non-stop traffic. It's very interesting to listen to when I'm writing sometimes.
At what point did CB evolve from regular AM transmitters to single sideband?
Almost simultaneously. I mean, it was in the 70s that it really became popular. And I think that stems from the fact that the 23 channels were getting clogged. The FCC brought out the 40 channels, and I think then more people were looking into communicating where it wasn't so busy. And let's face it, when you have millions of people using these channels, like any other part of society, you're going to have the good and the bad. And I think to this day, single sideband has more of an image of the more serious operators. You don't hear the 10-4 lingo. You don't hear the handles. It's more of communicating, I guess, to compare it to ham. Of course, you know, you're not going to be speaking long distances as you would with a ham radio, but it's always been the more serious operator, I think.
From my experience back in the late 60s, as I recall, Channel 16 became associated with single sideband. First it was 16, 17 as well in certain areas.
It's interesting you say 16. Here in Canada, in this part of Ontario, I can remember when we had 23 channels, you heard a lot of sideband always up around channel 23, 22, 21. It's always above 19. And then today, between 30 and 40, 40, but especially channel 35 seems to be very active in sideband.
When the 40 channels came in, you're right, you saw things spread out a little bit, and you saw more of the sideband, the upper channels. Here in the Chicago area, where I moved to in 1974, channel 16 or 17, channel 23 were single sideband. Now, 16 and 17, as I recall, were 20 kilohertz apart. At what point did we start seeing the opening up these rockbound crystal radios and putting sliders in them and clarifiers so you could get off the main channels and operate in between them, especially for sideband?
Well, during the 70s, that was huge. It was a numbers game. The more people you had involved, greater chance that you're going to have people that know how to do these things or want to figure out how to do it. I think it was like anything else. People wanted to tinker with their gear and push it to the limit. Anything from sliders to purchasing legal power or boots, as they were commonly called, or it could be something as simple as just fine-tuning your system. What better antenna? What ratio? The length of my coax? What coax should I be using? Tweaking became huge. And I remember my original outdoor base antenna was, I believe it was a 9-foot marine whip made for a boat, but was perfect for the peak of my roof just by adding a larger stainless steel spring coil. So when the wind started to whip, it wouldn't break. It would go with the wind. Gave me a better match and better output. The reception was about the same, but I seemed to get out a little bit better with that. You know, I think it's just a matter of people wanted to see what these things could do. And I think also it was a bit of a power trip. Like I say, you had a lot of undesirable people getting into it and just weren't using it for the right reasons. So obviously they wanted to be bigger, better, faster, whatever.
I'm speaking today with Jeff Reed, a Canadian freelance writer who wrote an article, Ready to Roll with CB Radio, appeared in the July 2008 edition of Popular Communications. We'll be right back. This is The Rain Report. What is the state of CB today?
Well, the mainstay remains the professional driver. See, even that term has morphed from truck driver, from trucker to a professional driver. Speaking with the Flying J's of the world and the two biggest dealers here in Canada, Durham Radio and Radio World, both in the Toronto area, it's the professional driver. It's one thing to be able to have satellite GPS, cell phone, but for that instant communication on road conditions or weather, CB is always the best. I spoke to one gentleman that is a ham operator. His quote was, quite honestly, I am a ham operator, but if a storm comes along, I turn on the CB and slip down to channel 19. I want to hear what the truckers are saying. And this is a gentleman that sells CB radios and ham radios for a living. He's a ham operator, but he knows that CB is going to do something that nothing else can do, and that is instant communication with those truck drivers that are out on the road that can give you traffic and weather. That's the mainstay. But we're seeing a lot of people that, maybe not so much now with the price of gasoline, but families that are traveling, they have them in their RVs. We're starting to see a little bit more of the hobbyist. I think it's a spinoff of the internet, to be quite honest with you, and everything else. People get hooked on communications. With me, I started out listening to AM long distance. I even did some long distance DX television at night. Got into shortwave, and of course my shortwave radio came with the ability to receive CB, and I started to hear the truckers, and that's how I got into CB radio. That later evolved to scanning, and look what we have now. It's all spin-offs, the FRS and GMRS, MURS, FHSS. I mean, it goes on and on and on. 10-meter ham. It's all part of the communications hobby. And I think it's always fascinating to get involved with all of it. Why ignore one facet of it? So I think you see some of the hobbyists that are saying, okay, let's add a CB radio to the shack. It's an alternative. As we all know, these shacks tend to grow beyond our limitations sometimes. But by far, the professional driver is the biggest user. And it's something that they will always have. It's not a matter of drivers saying, well, I've got a cell phone, I have a GPS, I'm not going to have a CB anymore. They always have a CB radio. I don't hear a lot of the shenanigans. I hear a lot more business people using them. They're finding that it's a less expensive way to communicate within the city.
Until we start climbing down to the bottom of the cycle we're in.
Right.
And all heck breaks loose on the channels, and
right,
then they're going to find the same problems they did in the 70s, and of course with every solar cycle that evolves. What's different about the equipment today versus 30 years ago?
Other than the fact that probably a lot of it's produced overseas, a lot of it really hasn't changed as far as the aesthetics or the appearance. I have a new Cobra 148 XLT, which I use for sideband and AM, it seems to perform a lot better than its predecessor. I'm sure that that has to do with the fact, again, with computer technology, you're leaving less to chance when you're manufacturing these things. You're not seeing a lot of different features. To be quite honest with you, the mainstays, the Galaxies, the Unitons, the Cobras, the President Electronics, the few out still by Radio Shack, believe it or not. The latest radio to come out, new technology, would be the Cobra Limited BT or Bluetooth. So it's a CB radio that also offers Bluetooth wireless technology.
Bluetooth for the cellular phone?
Exactly. So it actually used right through your CB radio. So again, trying to add that safety feature there where you're not fiddling around, everything's right in the same hand. To me, it's communications is communication. Being a professional communicator and having listened to ham, and I already looked at the study guide, do I really have time to get involved with any of the fundraisers or the emergency preparedness, all that kind of thing? I've got to make sure that when I do make that jump, I can commit time to that. I don't want to just get my license and then just sit in the background.
Jeff Reed, award-winning Canadian freelance writer who spoke with Rain's founder, producer, Hap Holly, KCNRP. You can read his article, Ready to Roll with CB Radio, in the July 2008 edition of Popular Communications Popcom magazine. Of course, there is much more to the CB story than what you've heard in the past 2 weeks here on the Rain Report. So through the fall, we'll bring you some short vignettes about this pop culture phenomenon of the 70s. Should you wish to drop Jeff Reed an email, you'll find it on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. We've also posted links to several websites Jeff has recommended for reading about CB's colorful past and present. Watch for Jeff's article delving into the evolution of CB single sideband SSB, scheduled to appear this fall in Popcom. This Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, a former CBer myself. My handle was The Duke, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.